And at this time, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thrilled to bring along one of the top show hosts in America, Tom Joyner. And I have every reason to believe that thousands and thousands of people are now standing by to hear his great commentary. Tom Joyner, I have been told that you're on fire and that you may have one of the best commentaries that you've ever had on the radio. So I'm proud to bring you to the golden airwaves of WTSB.
I'm loaded for bear today. I'm not afraid. I'm angry. Now let's be clear. There would be no ISIS today if Barack Obama had led a drive to eradicate them when they were less than 10,000 strong and strung out in a caravan of Toyota trucks in flat desert country. No place for them to hide, but they did not fear Obama. Now the time for hedging our words is over. The number one danger we face in America is not global warming, which may or may not happen 100 years from now. The number one danger we face in America is Islamic extremism. And a president, Barack Obama, who told us exactly what he was going to do and has done it. How ignorant were those who followed this grinning farce of a man into his road to the destruction of America? Did they not hear? Could they not see? Obama said he intended to fundamentally change America. He said that if the winds shifted, he would stand with Islam, not America. Before the UN, Obama said this: "The future does not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam." In other words, if we speak ill of the prophet of Islam, we would have no future. But Obama was glib and quick with a funny one-liner. And most importantly, Obama was black. That difference in color of skin was enough for liberal college kids and their socialist communist professors, enough for Democratic operatives to encourage multiple voting by people who had no clue what or who Obama was, other than his color. It was enough for massive voter fraud, and it was enough for the great majority of black Americans to favor race above country. We got the first black president in our history. This one was half white, but since he didn't really look that way, black America held a hand over one eye and saw only the black half. 7 years later, the middle class, black and white, are not seeing the promises Obama made come true. They complain about the lack of jobs and low wages, rightly so. In his first 2 years, Obama and the Democrats owned total power, and yet they did not do what they had promised. What they did do is reward their backers with millions of dollars through the push for so-called green energy. One after another, these initiatives failed, leaving the taxpayers with huge debt. Iranian-born Islamist Valerie Jarrett, Obama's chief advisor, brazenly said they would punish those who did not follow them and reward those who blindly followed the donkey into office. They gave out those rewards with the money racked up as national debt, a debt that will rise to $20 trillion by the time Obama leaves office, more debt incurred by Obama's reign than all of the other presidents combined. That money was not spent to strengthen our military or to fix a broken VA system that punishes our veterans. Our military today is a shell of its former self. Our Navy is as weak as World War I. Billions of dollars are simply lost. When Hillary Clinton left the State Department, there was $6 billion missing, unexplained, even to this day. The Pentagon loses and misspends billions of dollars every year. Medicare and Medicaid fraud continues to grow as unethical doctors and clinics overbill the government every year. Billions of dollars that in many instances were for services never performed. Yet no serious effort is being made to stop this abuse. Words, yes. Action, no. Millions of dollars are handed out in bonuses to VA administrators this very year, whose lack of performance leaves many of our sick veterans to die in hallways. Now, each year the government takes in a larger amount of our tax money than the year before, but it's never enough to cover the runaway spending. I remember when I was in the Navy in the early 60s, when near the end of the year they would come around and put new desks and typewriters in our office. What we had worked fine. But since they had to spend all of their budgeted money in order to receive an increased amount for the next year, these typewriters, desks, and furniture were bulldozed into a pit in a vacant field. Crazy? You bet it's crazy. But much of the same waste is repeated even now. The point is, our government is far too big and cumbersome. Instead of granting a percentage increase in budgets each year, every program and every receiver of government funds should be forced to justify their budget from the first dollar to the last. No automatic increases over last year. Account for every dollar. $6 billion missing? Somebody needs to go to jail. Only a fool would agree to pay more of their earned money to be shoveled into an endless government pit. Now, we'll get to ISIS shortly, but let's examine who and what Barack Obama is. The mainstream media protected him through two elections. They never dug into why the man had a court seal away the records of his past, focusing instead on what some Republicans said or did in the seventh grade. What we do know is that Barack Obama is the most racist president in the history of the United States. Again, Obama made his racism clear in his book, Dreams of My Father. In it, Obama wrote, "I ceased to advertise my mother's race at the age of 12 or 13, when I began to suspect that by doing so, I was ingratiating myself to white people." Obama went on to write, "It remained necessary to prove which side you were on, to show your loyalty to the black masses, to strike out and name names." In his own words, he chose to take sides, the black side, rather than promote racial healing. Obama then said, "It was into my father's image, the black man, son of Africa, that I'd packed all the attributes I sought in myself, the attributes of Martin and Malcolm, Du Bois and Mandela." How delusional can Obama be? His father was a scoundrel, a drunk, who killed a man while driving drunk, and who later lost his legs and then his own life, drunk behind the wheel. This Obama wants to emulate? Obama's mother, Stanley Dunham, can be viewed on the internet in all of her naked beauty. Her reputation was that of a rounder and a liberal communist. She was downplayed because she was not black. All of this barely saw the light as the liberal mainstream media covered for him. Here was a man wanting to emulate Malcolm X, a convicted criminal who hated white people and preached racial violence. Obama, with his Iranian Islamic communist advisor Valerie Jarrett, quickly acted to appoint Eric Holder as Attorney General, thereby ensuring that the Justice Department would follow Obama's racist agenda. Congress, on both sides of the aisle, has to take blame for this appointment, since no Democrat or Republican voted not to confirm Eric Holder. While it's true that Holder lied through his hat in the congressional hearings, the politicians should have looked beyond Holder's forked tongue and investigated his past. It was there to see. Nobody took the time to look. Holder was the most racist attorney general in our history. The slightest white-on-black action saw Holder's department showering down, as in Ferguson. But even the most grievous black-on-white action saw Holder duck and hide and Obama whistling into the wind. There was no justice. Still, white people did not riot, steal, or burn the neighborhoods. They just hoped and prayed that Obama's time in office would pass before the race war he, Jarrett, and Holder were fueling exploded. This only caused more and more hostility among young black people, eager to accept the victim status that would excuse all of their personal shortcomings and allow them to call for more atonement from white America in the guise of money and benefits. There is evidence of racism in Obama and Jarrett's decision to use Al Sharpton as their advisor on race. Sharpton is the foremost racist in America, next to Louis Farrakhan. Need more evidence? Farrakhan routinely calls for blacks to kill whites, and Obama remains silent. The IRS came after a white man, Willie Nelson, and forced him to sell even his personal effects to clear his back taxes. And yet, the same IRS refuses to hold Al Sharpton, a black man, to the same standard. Sharpton owes millions in back taxes, and has for years. Yet he pops in and out of the White House like the Pillsbury Doughboy, the black version. Now, we see all of this history culminating now on college campuses all across the country. Naive white students joining with black students to demand that someone else pay off their tuition debts and make college free for them. Even as these gullible, liberal whites joined black students at the University of Missouri in protest, the black students expelled those white students from a so-called safe zone they had established. Safe zones only for blacks. Now, I told you this before, but it bears repeating in light of the claims from blacks on campuses across the country. During the 2012-2013 period, blacks committed an average of 560,600 violent crimes against whites, and that number has increased in 2014 and on target to increase even more in 2015. 560,600 violent crimes. In contrast, whites committed 99,403 crimes against black America. That means that blacks were the attackers in 84.9% of violent crimes involving blacks and whites. In New York City, 97.5% of arrests for shootings in 2014 were by blacks and Hispanics. 97.5%. The overwhelming amount of violent crime and crimes against property on college campuses is caused by people who look like Obama, some of whom are students, some who are not. The current racial strife on campuses is a fraud. These black protesters pretend that they just learn their dirty, hurtful words and never use them on campus, that they never have offended a white student, yet the statistics put the lie to those claims. This is simply anarchy. Much of it paid for by liberals, socialists, and communists who want to join Obama in fundamentally changing this country. These infantile idiots will not know the damage they're doing until it's too late to save the country. Ask who was to pay for their college expenses. A student leader said that it should be taken away from the top 1% and given to them. If we were to take away 100% from the top 1% of the country to pay down the national debt, as others have demanded, that 100% would not begin to cover the debt, nor leave anything to pay all of these college expenses for spoiled liberal brats. Rational thinking, of course, is not their strong suit. Still, taking money from Mumsy and Popsy every day, these privileged college sprouts, black or white, have no concept of the real world. Frankly, we should raise the voting age to 21 or even 25 so these keg guzzlers can grow up before voting. And while we're at it, only American citizens should be allowed to vote, and only those who are actually paying into the system should be allowed to vote. Having the uninformed voting on whether or not they should keep getting free stuff is lunacy. If black college students attending a predominantly white college that they chose feel marginalized, are not white students at historically black colleges marginalized too? Blacks make up only 13% of the population. There simply are not enough black students to equal or approach the number of white students. The whole argument is ridiculous. Now, turning to last weekend's events in Paris and in Belgium. In July 2015, ISIS announced to the world that it would bring slaughter to France, fill the streets of Paris with dead bodies. July 2015. Obama had naively called ISIS a JV team months before. And hours before the Paris attacks, Obama opened his shoe-filled mouth and announced that ISIS had been contained, that they were no longer advancing. Almost before his words were written down, ISIS attacked 3 restaurants and a concert hall in Paris. Almost 130 lives were lost. Several hundred were wounded. All innocent people simply having dinner or listening to a rock concert. ISIS quickly told the whole world that it was responsible for the carnage, and yet Obama kept saying that he wasn't sure. Through it all, Obama has continued to refuse naming the jihadists as followers of Islam. Islam holds a special place in Obama's heart. He bowed to the king of Saudi Arabia, a country whose oil wealth has allowed it to play both sides against the middle in that troubled part of the world. Saudis follow a radical Wahhabist Islamic faith. They forbid Christianity and free speech, 2 pillars America has rested upon since the nation was founded 240 years ago. Oil is the Saudi lifeblood. They invent nothing, they produce nothing, except for the oil beneath the sands that they had no hand in putting there. From time to time, they release a glut of oil on the world and watch gas prices fall as they have today. Why? Because that allows oil production in America to be halted. Once that's accomplished, the Saudis drive prices back above $100 a barrel, and it takes 10 or more years for American oil producers to gear back up. Obama killed the Keystone Pipeline, bowing to radical environmentalists who claim that it might cause an accident. Folks, America is already operating 2.6 million miles of petroleum pipelines that have been built over the decades. The Keystone Pipeline operator, TransCanada, declared that Keystone would be the safest pipeline ever built in North America. Based upon fatality statistics from 2005 to 2009, oil pipelines are roughly 70 times safer than trucks, which killed 4 times as many people during those years, despite transporting only a small fraction of our fuel shipments. Consider that billionaire Warren Buffett, a huge financial supporter of Obama, invested heavily in railroad stocks just before Obama killed the pipeline. Railroads will benefit greatly from transporting fuel shipments, adding millions to Buffett's wealth. Coincidence? By the way, shipping by rail is almost as unsafe as trucks. America, folks, is in trouble. Obama has already delivered on the blueprint drawn by the communist Karl Marx, which was taught to Obama by communist mentors, chief among them Frank Marshall Davis. The blueprint calls for swamping us in debt. Obama has accomplished that. Weaken our military so that the enemy has less to fear. Obama has done it. Promote hate between blacks and whites, rich and poor, and men and women. Obama has been the divider in chief. dumb down society and create a victimhood that leads to violence. Check. Swamp the country with illegal aliens crossing a porous border and push for tens of thousands of Syrian refugees about whom we know nothing except that they are overwhelmingly 18 to 34-year-old men. A passport found by the mangled body of one of the men who blew themselves up in Paris shows him to be a Syrian refugee. And it's believed that he and other Paris terrorists roomed together in Belgium before strapping bombs to themselves with the intent to blow themselves up among innocent people. In this day of fanatical Islamic jihadists, we simply cannot afford to allow Islamists who we cannot verify to set up among us. Obama wants more of them. We have to demand less, and none that cannot be vetted before being turned loose in our cities and towns. Obama has refused to seal our southern border in his 7-year presidency and will do nothing to seal it prior to leaving the White House with a hefty paycheck for life, Secret Service protection for life, medical care for life, and a license to steal on the lecture circuit. Meanwhile, this fundamentally changed America will struggle to save itself from Obama's fiendish actions as president. Democrats should hang their heads in shame for foisting this man upon us. Yet they call for illegals to be allowed to vote and push to get away from any means of identification for those wishing to vote. Power means that much to them. Evangelicals should feel even more shame. Their hesitation to vote for Mitt Romney, a Mormon, left millions of votes uncounted because they stayed home and did not vote. Each of them bears responsibility for Obama. Now, Mexico has announced that they are willing to accept Syrian refugees. Think about that. Mexico accepts Syrian refugees. Does anybody think that they're going to stay in Mexico? You've got a wide open border into the United States. Anybody that goes to Mexico with the intention of staying there as a refugee is nuts. They're not going to be staying in Mexico where Mexicans themselves are leaving in droves. Now, Mexico makes each citizen acquire a tamper-proof ID card to vote. Everybody. They have to appear in person to apply, and they have to return in person to pick up the ID. The rules are strict and unbending. Here, we're told that requiring an ID to vote is racist. How does one legally go about receiving welfare and other benefits without identification? We have to stand up and stop Obama's fundamental changes. The same is true of so-called sanctuary cities here in America. Obama refuses to enforce the laws against it, and many cities openly flaunt their status. Illegal aliens return to these sanctuary cities each time they're deported. Democrats oppose a law that would give a mandatory 5-year prison sentence to any illegal alien who has felon status and who returns to this country from deportation. Why? They break our laws sneaking into the country, they commit crimes, they get deported, and immediately sneak back into our country. Now we have a felon again walking our streets, protected by liberals in sanctuary cities. They rape, steal, and kill. And yet liberal Democrats block any action to get these people off of our streets. Kate Steinle's father watched her die in front of him when a felon who had been deported more than 5 times returned yet again to San Francisco, where he said he felt protected by the sanctuary city on the bay. Kate Steinle died on a pier after being shot by this felon. This sanctuary city protected the killer but failed to protect his victim. That is one more piece of the Karl Marx blueprint. Use useful idiots to create havoc while at the same time promoting the denigration of law enforcement. That fundamental change threatens us all. Now, let's get to some nitty-gritty. You're free to disagree with me at your own peril, but as Rhett Butler said in Gone with the Wind, frankly, I don't give a damn. Barack Hussein Obama is an enigma. No white man or woman could ever have a court seal their records of their past and be elected president. Obama has consistently refused to call the enemy what it is, Islamic terrorism. They call themselves out, but he refuses. Hillary Clinton refuses. If Obama can't identify the enemy, even while the enemy is waving its arms and broadcasting its intent to slaughter us, he's either blind or a supporter of Islam, and we know he isn't blind. The man told us, point blank, that he would side with Islam against America, and I take him at his word, especially now that he has sided with Islam for 7 years. Do I believe that Obama is a Muslim? I can only look at his record of the past 7 years, since his past has been purposely hidden from us, and based on that 7-year period, yes, I do believe that Barack Obama is a Muslim. I further believe that he embraces the communist propaganda that he was taught at the knee of his communist mentors. I believe that this slick-talking, snake-oil salesman is racist to his very core. And that is verified by his actions and his self-loathing in his book, Dreams of My Father. Now, I see little difference in Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Both are pathological liars who tell voters what they want to hear. The sad fact is that far too many voters today are detached from the real world. We wanted our children to have things we did not have as children. And in so doing, we created generations of privileged crybabies. In seeking to make their lives better than our own, we spoiled them, detached them from reality, and kept them from the things we did have. Things like morality, like a hard day's work for a day's pay. Things like sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. They learned that political correctness was a virtue in classes taught by liberal socialists and communists in our universities and in some of our public schools. That teaching causes them to be offended by anything they deem politically incorrect. Unless we fundamentally change what Barack Obama has wrought, our children and grandchildren will grow up in a horrid world filled with crackheads, thieves, and killers. That is, if they're not slaughtered first by the rabid followers of Islam who intend to do just that. Turning back to Paris for a moment, they have extremely strict gun laws. Nobody is allowed to own or carry a gun. And that left the restaurant patrons and concert goers at the mercy of Islamic terrorists who have shown the world that they have no mercy. Obama and Hillary Clinton seek to disarm Americans. They would gut the Second Amendment in a minute if given the chance. The Islamic Bible, the Quran, calls for all infidels to be prevented from having weapons. An infidel is you and me or anybody else who will not bow to Allah and follow Islam's dictates. Now, I find it curious that Obama and Hillary Clinton want to take our weapons from us in the face of Islamic jihadists who want to kill us. If we are unarmed, their job becomes much easier. I also find it interesting that both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have as their closest advisors a committed Muslim, Huma Abedin, in Hillary's case, and in Obama's case, Valerie Jarrett. We've seen a wholesale invasion of Muslims into the White House and other sensitive areas of our government, including Homeland Security. Obama and the Muslim Brotherhood are as thick as thieves. Not a Muslim? Does a bear fit in the woods? This government is allowing a buildup of our enemies inside our own borders. France and other European countries made a horrible mistake in allowing Muslims to cluster there and multiply like rabbits. That's the Islamic way. Overpower and outpopulate the population with rapid growth, and once in the majority, dominate them. That is no secret, and history shows that Islamists have tried to dominate the world through caliphates since the beginning of time. In the past, they've been stopped by non-Muslims who saw them for what they are, a force seeking world domination. Obama will not acknowledge that fact because to do so would foil his plans for fundamental change. Great Britain, I believe, will be next in the gun sights of Islamic terrorism. France will be hit again. Germany invited 1 million Syrian refugees in. They don't know who they are. And it is just a matter of time before some of them get organized and attack innocent Germans. Our time will come as soon as these Islamic fundamentalists get enough terrorists in place, imported or homegrown, to strike at our heart. That may be a week, it may be a year, but it will come. And when it does, Americans will no longer be weary of war, but will fully understand what has happened to a once great nation. They will demand retribution, but it may come too late. Obama has been going through the motions of destroying ISIS. Russia has forced him to retreat from the world stage or step up his listless activity. But still, the man cannot bring himself to confront Islam, radical or otherwise. We have wrung our hands and hoped for change for too long. Among other steps, we have to stop allowing radical Islam to stand in mosques and on the street corners in our very own country and radicalize Muslims. We must stop bowing to liberals who demand that we not take steps that might harm innocent people. Well, newsflash, the terrorists hear those who would tie our hands, and they hide themselves among innocent civilians. The left says that innocent people will be killed if we bring an all-out war upon radical Islam. But hundreds of thousands of innocent people have already been slaughtered by these terrorists, and hundreds of thousands more will be killed by them if we do not take the gloves off and declare war against radical Islam. All-out war, not pinprick airstrikes, but complete devastation wherever they are found to be. We know where their headquarters is in Syria, a town called Raqqa, but Obama did not want to destroy them. France has now made the first devastating attacks on Raqqa. Islam was born in violence and remains a violent way of life today. Obama tells us that Islam helped shape our country, but that's another lie. Tell me one positive thing that Islam has contributed to society in 500 years. For thousands of years, followers of Islam have practiced violence against any who do not follow Islam. We're told by the apologists like Obama and Hillary that there are good Muslims. Why then are the good Muslims not policing their own neighborhoods, not reporting the radicals among them? If there are so many good Muslims, why have they not risen up in defiance against the bad Muslims? How can you follow a movement whose Bible, the Quran, teaches you to kill anybody who does not bow to Allah and then label yourself as good? Why must they come to this country voluntarily and then demand that we change our country to resemble the hell holes they just left in the Middle East? How do we tell the good Muslim refugees from those who have been commanded to kill us? They can hand over a counterfeit Syrian passport and do what Islam teaches them to do, lie to the infidels. How on earth can their pasts be verified? They can't be verified. Now, several states have taken action to ban these refugees from coming there, and Arab states, of course, will not accept them. These states are wise to do so. North Carolina, my own home state, has to follow suit. And Governor McCrory has begun that process. Bless him. Obama's devotion to Islam is unthinkable. I could give you a long, long list of violent actions taken across the world and here at home by Muslims. It's too long a list for me to do today. We have to insist on change, not the fundamental change that Barack Obama has in store for us and has tried to force upon us, but a change to the values that built this country. We've got to turn back from anarchy. Carl?
Yes, indeed, and thank you, Tom Jonah. Tom, thank you for your commentary today. I thought you had one of your very best.
I appreciate it, Carl. God bless America.